This show is a Phonik Media production.
Today on the podcast, we have got a very special guest. It's an interesting guest. It's an unusual guest, but it's a guest that everybody's been talking about. All to be revealed shortly. And welcome back to another episode of...
You said friends.
Friend?
You said friends.
Did I?
You did.
Hey, friend. Singular. How the devil are you? Welcome back to another instalment of this here little podcast, Business Marriage, the number one podcast in the United Kingdom that's made by us in this living room.
Yeah.
It's a very niche.
Very small sector. Hey,
but there you go. I've got a confession to make.
What?
You know, we were talking about, in a future episode, we'll be talking about changes.
Changes.
Tell you one change, as you get a bit older, I've noticed it this week. Like, as you get older, you just get hair, like random hair. Before we started recording today, I had to trim my nose hair. I was in the bathroom, just like washing my hands. I was like, oh my God.
That's been there for ages. I've just never said anything. Sometimes when you're talking, it's like coming out. And I'm like,
I've got hair on my ears as well. Well, I think I need to start going to the Turkish barber and getting him to
I find ones on my chin and I'm like, oh my God, it's like one really thick, coarse hair on my chin.
Oh,
and
fucking,
like,
what a catch we are. Let's hope we do never get divorced.
Why is that? You just get these random hairs that just grow out of anywhere.
If you know, if you've got any sort of like medical degree and you know that why you get hairier and fucking ropier as you get older.
And your face gets bigger.
Do let us know.
I'm sure your face gets bigger.
Do you know what the only part of your body that never stops growing? Oh, yeah, not that one. Apart from when you're around and that's always growing.
Yeah,
you like it. So your ears.
Oh,
apparently,
God.
Your ears never stop growing.
Sugar, mine are big already.
You could be like fucking Dumbo by the time you're 90.
My ears, look.
So that was more of a train than a Dumbo noise, wasn't it? Anyway, welcome back to the podcast. What, welcome
Black
to the
Beauty
podcast if you're...
Back.
Do you remember Black Beauty?
I do, actually.
Did you used to watch it?
Yeah.
But you don't like animals, like of any kind. You're the least animalistic person ever.
I watched a film that had an animal in it. I don't hate animals. I just wouldn't want a horse or an animal. I'm that person who's like, oh, straight the horse. I'm like...
Oh, in horse news, by the way, have you seen the family group
that's
today?
The thing.
Have you seen that our nephew?
I know.
He's on a horse.
Alfie.
He looks so disinterested on being on that fucking horse. It's like, he don't look like he's having a good time.
Him.
Apparently, he can't trot on this horse either because he just laughs. Soon as the horse.
Alfie laughs or the horse laughs?
Oh, the horse. Of course, Alfie, you fucking idiot.
We meant the horse gets the giggles. Can you imagine being on a horse and he just like
what is going on with you?
His legs don't work.
Oh my God, his legs don't work.
I don't know.
Does that mean they're laughing? Anyway, thank God we have got a guest on today that we're going to need. Right, today on the podcast we've got an unexpected guest and I think he wants to introduce himself. His name is let me just check which one have I picked. Oh, this was Ryan. So this is Ryan, and Ryan will be joining us for today. Ryan is the... Why that's a Northern Irish? Ryan will be joining us for the podcast episode today, so we will. Ryan. Fucking Ryan! Ryan! It's going to be the voice today of this. Come on, Ryan. Oh, it's fucking buffering. Buffering now.
My name is ChatGPT and today I am the co-host of Business Marriage with James and Haley. Let's hope that there is finally some intelligence from this show as this pair are fucking idiots.
Ryan!
That is so
That's
rude.
That's a bit much, Ryan.
How dare you?
But yes, today on the podcast, we're going to do an entire episode that is driven entirely by artificial intelligence. Now, the reason why we wanted to do this is because every motherfucker is talking about AI at the moment.
But it is pretty epic.
It's unbelievable. But everyone who was like a general marketer 6 weeks ago is now an AI expert.
Yeah.
There's like courses on it. There's experts on it. I mean, this thing's been around for like fucking 5 minutes and now everyone's an expert.
But everyone's embracing it, aren't they? Like, I remember...
Not everyone is embracing it, I wouldn't say. A big chunk of people are.
But I remember a few years back when people were saying about like AI, it can help you write this and people are like dead against it. Whereas now it seems like every type of marketing company are using AI now in their platform.
Yes.
It's almost like a sales tactic to get people to use them is that you've got this AI technology.
I'm seeing people who are like really, really well known in their sector. They're even like changing things like their Instagram handles to include like they're now an AI creator and stuff. So Billie Jean is marketing, who's at Matt Wilson's event. He's now putting himself out there as an AI marketer.
So use AI to help me with like inspo ideas. So does that mean that I can create, I'm an AI marketer?
Sorry, hold fire. Are you so cool these days you don't finish words, you just say inspo?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not that cool. Oh, don't, I hate that.
Do you?
I hate it.
Save it for the next episode, baby.
Yeah, we'll do, okay, fine. So we're gonna use ChatGPT today to dictate the direction of the episode.
Yeah, we just think, why not? Like, so that's what we love about this podcast, is that we have these ideas and we think, why not try it? It could be an absolute epic
fail. Might be a car crash.
Because ultimately we're relying on ChatGPT to...
Jack. So that's a knockoff version.
Yeah.
All right, mate, ChatGPT.
Yeah, Jack, Ryan. But yeah, so who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But, who knows?
But we tested it earlier. We said, well, let's do what we always like to do on this podcast and talk a little bit about business, a little bit about life, a little bit about marriage.
Yeah.
And some other stuff. And let's see what it comes up with. And just some of the questions.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I asked it a question about dogging, basically. And it actually gave me a legitimate answer about dogging.
Love it.
It's quite funny.
Shall we? I feel like we need a jingle to get us into
this. Yeah, okay. So today, guys, there will be no small business shout out. This entire episode is brought to you by ChatGPT. By the way, if you're not like techie, if you haven't used this thing, it's unbelievably powerful.
It's amazing.
There's a brilliant guy called Mo Godat, and he used to be the chief, I'm sure he was like a CIO, a chief innovation officer for Google X, which is Google's like kind of like moonshot arm. So they make like the next level stuff. So you've got, he was always working on like going to space like mad shit.
Yep.
Super, super intelligent guy. And he put a brilliant post out the other day going, stop worrying about ChatGPT. That's not going to take your job. But the person who knows how to get the best out of ChatGPT and operate it, that person's taking your job.
Yeah.
So I think, again, the narrative has shifted slightly the last couple of, maybe even the last couple of months, because everyone's like, oh, AI is going to take the job of a copywriter. AI is going to take the job of a marketer. Actually, it's just an amazing tool to empower you. Now, don't get me wrong. I think like Elon Musk and some of like the big world leaders are trying to put a case forward for why we should try and slow AI down, because it's artificial intelligence, it's machine learning.
Yeah.
It gets infinitely more and more clever the more it gets used.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it will learn the same amount of information that would take a human a year.
Yeah.
In under 10 minutes now.
So why do they want to slow it down?
Because they're saying it's dangerous, because they're saying it will get so clever, they'll be like, oh, we will kill the human race. But like, what's the point in killing the human race? Like, it can't, it's not like a cyborg robot. Anyway, but yeah, if you utilise the tools, if you utilise some of the stuff that's out there, like you say, there's loads of softwares that are now integrating it.
Yeah.
It's a mega, mega powerful tool.
Mega powerful.
So we will find out, whilst it's powerful for branding, for content and for certain sectors. I mean, that's the sectors that we even know about because we're in them. But it's mega powerful for lots of different stuff. But is it going to be any good at driving the direction of a podcast? We're going to find out. So today on the show, we're going to ask ChatGPT what direction of the podcast that we should go in. So first and foremost, I think we've talked about this a few times. We've talked about, you know, like marriage. And we've talked about potentially, you know, it could come across like we have a failing marriage.
Yeah, some people say that, someone actually said that the first kind of couple of episodes I listened to, they were quite worried that we were actually like on the verge of breaking up.
You two really hate each other. It's like, this is our banter.
Yeah, bants.
So I asked ChatGPT, how can you save a failing marriage? Do you think that an AI-driven cyborg knows the answers? Let's find out, because I think it does. So, Ryan,
saving a failing marriage requires a lot of effort, commitment, and willingness from both partners.
You're so right.
Here are some steps that may help in the process.
Thanks, Ryan.
Should I make notes?
Communication. Communication is essential in any relationship.
Okay.
It is.
Both partners need to be open and honest with each other about their feelings, needs, and concerns.
You annoy me.
It's important to listen actively and avoid blaming or attacking each other.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Ryan has really stitched you up there. I've paused it. No, I've paused
it. Because I'm laughing, right? Because I started making notes, right? And I wrote communication. And then it said open and honest. And I accidentally typoed open and horny. I was like, I'm just going to leave that there.
Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Do you notice what else that Royan said there, though?
Avoid blaming.
Avoid blaming and listen actively.
We hadn't got to that one.
Cut
it off.
Yes, we have.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Exactly.
That is classic.
So in communication, so both parties need to be open and honest.
Yeah. You give it that I don't listen.
Yeah, but you don't listen to important stuff.
Yeah, but you don't listen to, like, I literally said to you this morning, I've done the water bottle, I've put Louis' snack in his bag for his picnic thing that he's got at school. And then I come downstairs and you're in the kitchen going through the cupboards, like, I'm like, what are you looking for? You just spat your tea. You're disgusting. You're disgusting.
That caught me off guard, sorry.
And then you're going through the cupboards, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm looking for Louis' snack. Why the fuck are you looking for Louis' snack when I've already told you I've put it in his bag? Because you didn't listen.
Okay.
Carry on, fucking Royan.
Come on, Royan.
It's important to listen actively and avoid blaming or attacking each other.
There you go.
Avoid attacking.
Seek professional help. Consider seeking help from a marriage counsellor or therapist.
Maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
They can help you identify the root cause of the problems in your relationship and guide you through ways to resolve them.
Thanks, Royan.
Work on
yourself is going to be the next one. So seeking professional help. A lot of people are, like, nowadays, like, having a therapist, it's not, like, fashionable, but a lot of people are, like, having a therapist, aren't they?
Yeah, because I suppose, like, what we know about, say, like, personal development is super powerful. Like, your own mindset, your own mind, your mindfulness, wellness, that kind of thing. And as you know, a lot of problems within a relationship can actually stem from the individual. Does that make sense? Like, if the person's feeling better about themselves, or they know how they think or how they behave and they communicate that a bit better, that would probably answer a lot of the challenges that they're facing. So having a marriage therapist or a counsellor is almost like just having someone to talk to, isn't it? It's like a sounding board to sort of really, I don't know, I guess, get to the source of where these issues are coming from. And I guarantee it's a lot of just in their head that they're just not communicating. But luckily for us, babe, I mean, we talk all the time, don't we? What's happening to my eye? Sorry.
You know, stop talking. What's his next point? We'll wrap up this one.
Know, maybe play it.
But actually, do you know what? It's, you know, impressive.
Oh, is it going on and on?
AI
and on?
Tech, yeah.
Work on yourself.
You work
Each
on yourself.
Partner needs to work on their individual issues and take responsibility for their actions.
What?
I was being rude.
Work on yourself.
Oh, it's saying
Each
it again.
Partner needs to work on their individual issues and take responsibility for their actions.
So true, Royan.
This may include addressing personal problems such as addiction or mental health issues.
Right, this is the crazy thing, right, about ChatGPT and other AIs that are available, but ChatGPT seems to be the most popular one. That it came up with those answers within under 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's not just grabbing the information. So it's not what a lot of people think the AI is. It will just scour the internet, get all the information, and then just pull it back. But it hasn't been online. Are you laughing at pull back?
So
what is it with you?
I'm not
about
idea.
Pull back. Every time you say pull back, it's not
just
even
carry
anyway.
On.
But I think what's really it's actually that's machine learning, and it does it so quickly.
Yeah.
And this is the thing about it getting infinitely more clever the more and more that you use it. It's actually working out the best answers because it hasn't been online since 2021.
Wow.
That was the last time it was linked, and now it's literally it's internal learning.
Wow.
So fucking clever, isn't it?
So clever.
So how can you save a marriage? It turns out ChatGPT can do it.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
So thank you, ChatGPT.
I think we realise that I do listen, James doesn't listen, and that maybe the avoid blaming. I think sometimes James just is to blame and that's just the way it is. So.
Yeah, maybe.
But I take your points on board.
Okay, so the next point is, so it can help with a relationship, that's fine, but it's not human, is it, this thing?
No.
It's not human. I'm going to change it up now. I'm going to go for a different voice.
Okay.
So now the voice of ChatGPT is going to be Libby.
Oh, hello, Libby.
And also, because it's a little bit slow, I'm going to speed up a little bit. I'm going to go 1.28. So here we go. So the next question we ask ChatGPT.
Yes.
Bearing in mind, this is a machine.
Right.
With no emotions.
Yep.
No physicality.
A bit like me.
Artificial, yeah. Hello.
Hayley's so emotional.
I am the Hayley, but
she doesn't show
all
me
I
any affection.
Is branding. All I talk
I'm
about.
I'm so cold.
All I talk
I never
about.
Give you cuddles.
Is branding.
Gosh.
The only time I touch another human being.
I wish I still had
to
that
get
little
my
violin.
Fucking dry feed and tuck it underneath somebody.
Dry feed?
Some feet. Dry feed.
That's like, what am I, like a squirrel?
anyway, feed. So the second question that we asked ChatGPT. How do you revive your sex life?
Oh, God, not this again.
I'm just asking. Libby. Go on, Libby, what you got for us, Libby? This is ChatGPT.
Hopefully she says if the men stop chatting shit.
Reviving your sex life can be a fun and exciting process.
Yeah, Libby.
Here are some tips that may help.
Oh, hello.
Communicate. Communication is key in any relationship, and it's especially important when it comes to sex.
So right, Libby. Talk openly
and honestly with your partner about your desires, fantasies, and what you like or don't like.
Oh, hello.
Try some... fancy. Okay, what would be your number one fancy?
Oh, no.
Come on.
You're just not in it. I'm joking.
Bradley Cooper and Ryan Gosling.
Well, it's quite nice.
Your auntie's going to listen to this.
I don't know. What's your fantasy? Do you have fantasies when we're this old and we've been together this long?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I do have fantasy. Yeah.
What?
I'm a sexy cowboy. I come over a day on the ranch.
A day on the ranch.
And you're there as like a buxom.
Have you got a stutter as well?
As a buxom milkmaid.
With a stutter. with his little feet.
I come home.
Raking the ground.
What are you raking? I don't know. Cowboys look after cattle. Why do we rake in the ground?
I don't know. You're raking the ground.
Anyway.
They always rake the ground in cowboy films.
What are you talking? Anyway, so I'm a sexy cowboy. I come home. I park my horse up outside. I come in and you're exhausted after a day of milking the family cow.
That would turn you on, would it? Me milking a cow. You sicko. You absolute sicko.
Oh. Anyway.
Really?
No.
So if you saw me milking a cow, you're going to be like, oh, this is one of my fantasies coming true.
No, actually. I've seen your face as you were talking about.
And also, right, I'm going to just say this. There's a film that I watched several times called The Longest Ride. It's one of those, I think it might be a Nicholas Sparks, I'm not sure, one of those like romantic films. And he's like a cowboy, and he shouldn't, because he's going to die if he continues, but he does.
If he continues what?
Riding bulls or whatever he does.
Bullfighting.
And I mean, he's very good looking. It's, who is it? It's Clint Eastwood's son. Scott Eastwood, is it?
I don't know.
And
Eastwood Jr.
It's great. But then the reality.
Oh, he's a bullfighter.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, like one of them rodeo riders.
Yeah, rodeo, yeah.
Okay.
But the reality is, right? He probably stinks of absolute shit. Like, if he's like mucking out animals, riding a bull, and then like he's coming off and like chatting her up, you'd be like,
"Mate, you smell the shit."
What's that smell?
Hey there, Haley Dolores. Do you fancy going out the back and having a good time on a hay belt? No, I'm alright, thanks, mate. You smell like
shit.
A dog's dick.
No, a cow's dick.
Cows don't have dicks. There's going to be so many good clips from this anyway. Libby, quick, save us from ourselves. What else can we do to revive our sex life?
Try something new. Experimenting with new positions, toys, or lingerie can help spice things up in the bedroom.
No, Libby, I appreciate that. Nah. Could you, like, what? Actually, you wore a matching bra and knicker set yesterday, and I thought it was Christmas Day. I was like, what's happened? Just a standard Thursday. It felt like
Try
Christmas.
Try something new. Sorry, experimenting with new positions, toys, or lingerie can help spice things up in the bedroom.
But this is working this out
Be
yourself.
Open to trying new things and exploring each other's bodies.
Yeah, explore my body.
I'm all right. You just don't want to, though, do you? Like, when you're younger, I think everything just seems fun. And then as you get older, it's just like, I don't fucking want to explore your body.
Yeah, especially if you've got kids that don't wake up in the night.
You're telling me about this hair everywhere.
You can't be.
It's like, oh, hang on, what was this? Oh, sorry, James has been getting up in the night because Georgia's got a cold. And then the next day we all pay the price that James is the one that had to get up and put him back to bed.
Two nights on the bounce. And then this morning when he woke up again, he's at his door, he just wakes up now. He doesn't sort of like... So he used to like sort of shout quite quietly. Yeah. He's like, "Daddy, Daddy." Now he's just got to the door. He slams the door up and goes, "Daddy!" So I bear in mind that I've been up again in the night. I'm lying on his floor next to him. I then come back to bed an hour later. Who gets up this morning with him?
The night before.
No, that was last night as well.
No, it wasn't.
Anyway, that's not the point. Fine.
Okay.
So there you go. So ChatGPT could also help you give you a summary of the other ones. Schedule it.
Oh, we said that.
We didn't do that before.
Excuse me. In fact, we're coming to that probably in the next episode, but I haven't actually really seen you, have I?
No.
No.
Focus on foreplay. Apparently, that's what Libby's saying. Focus
you
on foreplay. Kissing. Not you. Take care of yourself. Taking care of yourself, both physically and mentally, can also have a positive impact on your sex life.
I do.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Eat well. Right, make time for self-care. Feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, do you know what? That's actually really good because
confident and desirable.
If I was to this do thing's more exercise, fucking nuts. Yeah, I would have more like energy. Like Sam said, at the minute. No, but at the minute, like you've been working. So no, you've been working late. So I've been like putting the kids and sorting all that out. Then I've had to jump onto work because I haven't got my work finished. So I'm getting off the laptop at like 10 o'clock. And then you just
you don't
feel,
want to get off the laptop onto the lap, do you?
No.
Not at that time of night.
Tired and groggy. But actually, if you'd had like a whole night off, you'd gone out for a nice walk or done something, I can see that you'd have a bit more of a mojo.
So then I decided.
I've got a question.
Then I decided, what, for ChatGPT?
Yeah.
For Libby, go on.
Just around like marriage. At what point in your marriage?
I can't type fast enough. At what point, yeah. Yep.
Is swinging a good idea?
Blimey.
Wonder if they'll answer.
At what point in your marriage is swinging a good idea? Here we go. Look. Generate. Here we go.
Because
swinging.
Like, you
I'm
hear
just going to read it.
Don't you? Of these people are like, oh yeah, they're swingers. And you think, is it like a conscious decision? Do you reckon they've always had an open relationship?
Here's what ChatGPT's got to say. Swinging is a personal choice. There's no specific point in a marriage where it is considered a good idea. Before considering swinging, it's important for both partners to be open and honest. Both partners to have open and honest communication about their desires, boundaries and expectations. It's also important to have a strong and healthy relationship foundation. As swinging can be emotionally challenging and it may bring up feelings of jealousy, insecurity or discomfort. Swinging may be a good idea for couples who have a high level of trust, communication and emotional maturity and who are interested in exploring their sexuality together. There you go.
That's a very good answer.
It is important to approach swinging in a consensual and respectful manner with clear boundaries and rules established beforehand. Ultimately, this is... How fast did it come up with the answer? 5 seconds. Ultimately, and it's dealing with like human emotions from a fucking machine.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the decision to explore swinging is a personal one and should be based on the preferences, desires and comfort levels of both partners. It's important to prioritise health and well-being of the relationship and be respectful of each other's feelings and boundaries.
What do you reckon, swinging?
No, I'm all right for it, I think.
Nah.
No, because whenever you like, I'm not going to stitch myself up here. Like some of the, like maybe the films around swinging make it seem like it's a really good idea because like everyone's sexy, everyone's hot, everyone's having a good idea. But if you go to like one of them probably like them London swingers clubs, they're probably like some like ropey old Dorothy's,
and Malcolms,
and they'll be like, "Hello there, can I touch your bush?" I'm right, thanks, Malcolm. Get off me, bush.
What are
the rules with that as well? Do you like if you go to one of these things, do you have to like get right stuck in? Do you just have a little watch?
Oh, I don't know. Is it all right?
Can you just
creepy.
Like, okay, like, oh, I don't know.
It's a bit
weird.
Creepy, isn't it?
It
imagine
is.
Going to like a swingers party and then you walk in and everyone's just like, hello.
Imagine going to a swingers party and someone you know is already there.
Imagine that. Be like, dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, that would be embarrassing, especially if like the other person wasn't there.
I know, I've got another question.
Go on.
Well, it always comes up in our debate about how many times a married couple should have sex. But we need to ask it in a way because that's just going to say, oh, it depends on the person. Or say, what is the average...
Hang on, well, how many times does the average...
Married couple have sex?
Average married couple.
Married couple who've been together for 17 years are a bit run down, don't look their best. Young kids, one that has to get up like every night.
Hey, I've asked it, not all of that.
Can we have the robots?
How many times? Oh, yeah, here we go. Who would you like? Would you like Libby or would you like somebody else?
I like
Libby. Libby's nice, isn't she? Hang on, let's drop. Hang on, we've got a copy and paste. Sorry, this might not be the best listening experience, guys, but hopefully we thought it'd be a bit of fun
learning.
To give it a try.
Here you go.
The frequency of sexual activity among married couples can vary widely depending on many factors, including age, health, lifestyle, and relationship dynamics.
Listen to this. Oh no, I've reached my daily limit of the amount of times Libby will tell us stuff.
Oh, Libby.
Therefore, it's trying to charge me 17 quid. Fuck you, Libby. And therefore, it's difficult to provide a specific number of how many times the average married couple should have sex after 17 years together. That being said, research suggests that sexual frequency tends to decline over time in long-term relationships. Well, you don't need to be fucking AI to work that out. As couples may face challenges such as stress, busy schedules and changing their physical health. However, it's important to note that the quality of sexual activity and the overall relationship satisfaction can remain high even if the frequency decreases.
See, I'm about quality. You're about quantity. Yeah.
You're not about quality.
No, I'm not about quality either.
You're not about quality.
I'm neither, actually. I'm just...
You're about avoiding it at all costs. That's what you are. Anyway, so ChatGPT can help with, emotive questions.
Wow.
It can deal with, the physical side of things.
Yeah.
So we thought, why not see if it can help us with this little podcast? So recently...
Yeah.
Some of the comments on YouTube are just unnecessarily
brutal.
Just dickheads. There's just lots of dickheads.
It's always aimed at me as well.
It is always aimed at you. Yeah, isn't that weird?
Care. And it's always guys.
There's
maybe ask why. Ask ChatGPT. Why is it mostly men that write that troll?
Most
on
online trolls men.
Are most? Are you asking it?
No. I'm making a statement.
Yeah. Is it saying?
No.
What? It's not.
Oh, no. Research has shown that men are more likely to than women to engage in online trolling behaviour. This is due to a number of factors, including gender, socialisation, anonymity, and a desire for attention or control. One possible explanation is that men may be more likely to engage in aggressive or competitive behaviour in general due to societal expectations around masculinity and dominance. Mm. This can manifest in online interactions as trolling or other forms of negative behaviour.
Yeah. And that's the thing, I'm not saying that is the case now for every man, not every man's aggressive, but historically over time, we have been conditioned to be a certain way. Hence, women are told that, they should be more, maybe empathetic. We're more in touch with our emotions. We're softer. We're, bit more kinesthetic, whereas guys are much more they go after
am I the woman in our relationship and you're the man?
Maybe. Guys are much more aggressive, they're
logical,
dominant. They stand up for what they want. They're they walk into a meeting and tell everyone what it is they want to do.
How you're doing
what it's like. And what we have to stop is almost forcing people to feel like they've got to be like that. But obviously that's going to take time, isn't it? It's changing now, isn't it? Shifting, stereotyping. But honestly, on YouTube, the only nice comments, not all have come from women, but all the kind of sarcastic or the sort of nasty. When we say nasty, by the way, we actually don't give a shit. It makes me laugh. I actually enjoy going through the comments. There was one who was oh, you got all these thousands of watchers and only 125
96 videos and only 124 subscribers.
I'm like, fuck you.
I looked in their profile. I didn't even have an account, so I was going to go, how many have you got? I think it was like Baz 1986.
Baz,
is that your dad? Is your dad trolling us on YouTube? Anyway, so we asked ChatGPT, how could somebody deal with trolling? Dealing with trolling can be challenging and stressful experience, but there are some strategies that may help. Do you remember when I used to get trolled by a guy?
No.
Do you not remember? And he was like, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. When I used to work in that coaching business, working with them too, what does your wife think of you? Do you not remember?
No.
And he was like, oh, nice new house.
Oh.
Hope you enjoy it. And I actually phoned him up one day. I actually had a phone call with him. It was so weird. He wouldn't tell me who he was. It's hilarious.
How did you get his number?
I've asked him for it.
That's creepy.
Had he
actually been watching our house?
No, he'd been watching Instagram. Oh, right. But he was like, oh, nice new house.
Yeah, I wouldn't post and he was like, oh, and things like that now.
No, but back in the day, he's like, oh, it's a nice area, isn't it, Chislehurst? And I was like, what? Fucking creep.
Creep.
And I was like, give me your fucking phone number. And he actually gave me his phone number. So I phoned him. I said, what's your fucking problem? He said, I hate the people you work with. I said, well, why you got to be a fucking arsehole about it? He was like, do you know what? You're actually all right. I think he had a fake voice.
It's funny
how
people
so weird.
Do go out of their way to be nasty.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Anyway, this is how you could deal with trolling. Number one, ignore it. One of the best ways to deal with trolling is to simply ignore it. There you go. Done.
Love it.
Number two, block or report the troll. Most social media platforms and websites have mechanisms to place or block and report the trolls.
Yeah.
Fine. Number three, respond calmly. This is what I like to do. If you choose to respond to the troll, it's important to do so in a calm and measured fashion.
Just go, fuck you.
Yeah, to be fair.
That's our calm and measured way.
Seek support. Dealing with trolling can be emotionally draining. And number five, take a break.
Yeah.
You know, if it persists, take a break.
Jokes aside, we're talking about me and you.
Not giving a fuck.
Nobody's. We're getting a couple of comments. But imagine on a level where you're in the spotlight and something happens and you do get trolls, or like when you hear these stories, I don't want to go too deep here, but when you hear these stories of like
kids getting,
you
know, bullied,
kids getting bullied online, like it literally like breaks my heart. There's a really interesting, totally changing the subject here, but there was, I saw an ad, did you see it the other day, it was an advert, it's I can't remember the slogan, but it's almost like cyber aware or cyber safe, and it basically said if you wouldn't say it to their face,
oh,
don't
I did
say
see
it
yeah.
online. And
yeah.
I thought, isn't that good? Like, yeah. isn't that interesting? Because all these people,
yeah,
because
it is true when you think about it. Like, would they?
A platform,
yeah.
But would you say that face. To someone? And if you wouldn't, then don't say it.
99.9% of them people wouldn't have the fucking bottle to say it. Not a chance.
No. But we don't care. Like for us, like it's all part of it. Like it's funny. We don't care. Keep them coming.
But like you say, yeah. Actually, if you've watched this, if you've got something you'd like to say, maybe you're one of our mates, maybe you're one of our regular listeners or perceived friends, you're like, do you know what? I've actually got a bit of a, I've got an axe to grind with you two.
Yeah.
I fucking hate this about you. Yeah. Tell us. No, troll us.
But also tell us nice things, right?
No, just troll us. In fact, the best troll can win a mug.
No.
I'm giving away more of your 13 quid
mug.
Yeah.
13 quid mug.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Also, if you're not following us on Instagram, go on there because you can see some of our lucky winners who are sharing their pictures of them and their mugs, which just
we've had some good ones, haven't we? We have had some good ones.
Cracking me up. So, yeah, Victoria and Neil, particular favourites. Make sure you can send us a voice note. However you want to contact us, on Instagram, on our website. Anyway.
Carrying
on.
Right. Then I've got a couple more things. So I've decided, right, so it's done. It's dealt with like emotive.
Yeah.
It's dealt with physical, sexy stuff.
Yeah.
It's dealt with how to deal with online bullying.
Okay.
It's given us some tips about whether we should or shouldn't start swinging.
Yeah.
I would seriously suggest the answer is no on every level. So I thought, okay, can it help you to parent?
Oh, I like
this. Oh, yeah, ChatGPT.
I have one here, actually.
You think you fucking know everything, yeah? But how do you do with kids?
Yeah.
With your all-seeing fucking cyber intelligence, which just multiplies.
Can ChatGPT babysit?
Can you?
Do you offer babysitting services?
Do you offer babysitting services?
Imagine if it was like, yeah.
As an AI language model, I do not offer babysitting services or other physical services. My purpose is to assist and provide information to users through text-based communication. Is there anything else I can help with?
See, you can't take our job, can it? I've got a question about parenting.
Tell me a joke. Sure, here's a joke for you. Why don't scientists trust atoms? Because they make up everything. It's very good. It's very
That's
good.
That's one of your jokes.
It is decent, to be fair, isn't it? No, so I asked it.
Yeah.
I said, oh,
we
go.
Can't even listen in robot because we've run out of credits.
Oh, no, I've run out of credits. I'm not fucking paying 17 quid for like some robot banter.
17 quid?
I can't. I've
what
got
are you on?
13 pound mugs. Libby and Ryan taking
a piss. 17 quid. You having a laugh?
So I asked ChatGPT, is it okay to bribe your children to get them to behave better?
Oh, yeah.
And this is what it said. This is very, again, a machine with no heart or soul.
Is it going
to
tell
supposedly.
Me that my parenting style is good or bad?
You're about to find out.
Okay.
Bribing children to behave better is generally not recommended, as it can reinforce negative behaviours and set a poor example for future decision making.
Oh, okay.
Bribes can also undermine a child's intrinsic motivation to do the right thing and develop a strong sense of responsibility and accountability. It's a machine! It told me in 5 seconds! It's better at parenting my kids than me.
You know that as well. When you're saying, do this and then you can have a treat, or do this and you can have one of your chocolates. I know it's wrong, but sometimes there's those moments that you do it. But you're right, what are you actually teaching your child there? Oh.
It goes on.
Goes on.
Instead of bribing children, it's important to focus on positive reinforcement and setting clear expectations for behaviour. This can include praising and rewarding positive behaviour, setting consistent boundaries and consequences for negative behaviour, and encouraging open communication and problem solving.
Oh, I love it.
It's so better at parenting our kids than us.
Don't do this because you'll be a twat.
I am a robot.
What was that?
That's a robot.
I am a robot.
Thank you, ChatGPT. It's also important to consider long-term consequences of bribing children. Bribes can create a dynamic of dependence and entitlement.
Yeah.
Fucking can. Where children expect to receive rewards for good behaviour and may not develop a strong sense of self-motivation or responsibility. It's like when Louis asked me, he was doing the car washer with me probably a couple of months ago now. It's a long time since I washed the car. Got to wash the car. And he asked if he could get like another one of those like another dinosaur.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, they're like 43 quid or whatever it was. And he went, how much pocket money have I got? And I told him, and then he went, so have I got enough? I said, no, sweetie, you need another £27. And he said, can I have £27 if I wash the wheels of the car? I was like, are you fucking kidding?
Yeah, £27.
You don't even do it properly. Get your tiny little hands right in the brakes.
Yeah.
Right behind there, right in the rust.
Yeah. Like, try getting 10p.
27 quid to wipe the wheels.
Who do they think they are?
These kids don't know they're born,
do you know what?
They?
It is funny because I don't
this is the machine that's telling us about
kids. Christmas is just like...
Hello.
Oh, you got a message.
Oh.
Hello. I won't read it out.
I had to turn that off.
You know, like you think of Christmas, it's just one big form of bribery, isn't it? Like, are you good or bad? You've been naughty or nice?
Santa won't come.
You better be good or you're not going to get presents. I feel like I've been like, you're going to get presents. You know you're going to get presents. Like,
don't be a twat.
Just have it out. Like, yeah. But, yeah, the bribe thing, we don't bribe them that much. But I do find myself saying sometimes, well, if you do that, like, you're not going to have a treat at the weekend. I'm like, that's actually bribery, isn't it?
No, that's not bribing. No. Bribing is like using saying to get, like, when we go get the car, you can have a snack.
Yeah,
that's bribery. Yeah, that's become a daily thing. Do you know what George did this morning on the way to school? Probably mugged me off. He's sitting there. So he's got three little chocolate rice cakes. Louis's got three little chocolate rice cakes. They're tiny, by the way. Before the trolls get onto us,
and they're dark chocolate, and they're actually healthy.
Yeah, so shut up, trolls online. Because I know what you're thinking. You go, raising your little fat kids. Self-entitled little fat kids. Rolling around in your car. Anyway, so George is sitting there about to eat the third rice cake. I just looked at him just to check that he was all right. And he went, it's not for you. And he licked it. He went, you can't have it. And I was like,
I love it.
Where's he got that from? Like, lick it so you wouldn't take it off him. Sneaky little bastard.
Licking something. I don't know.
Final thing, it's in overall, it might be tempting to use bribes as a quick fix for behavioural issues. It's important to focus on building positive relationships and reinforcing positive behaviour, though. Positive reinforcement, consistent expectations and open communication. It came up with the answer in that's 3 seconds.
Yeah, do you know what? Communicate.
3 seconds.
It's a big one. I think with Louis yesterday, he just was really moody after school and he screamed at his brother for no reason and just stormed upstairs. And I was a bit like, Louis, that was really rude. Like, apologise to George, it's not nice. And of course he was just, went upstairs and he's like crying. And I didn't shout at him or anything. I was like, Louis, are you going to come back down and play in the garden? He's like, no, and still screaming and crying. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to leave him. And then a little while later, I said, Louis, why don't you come downstairs now? Come and play in the garden. And then he came down and he's just like crying his eyes out. He's like, I just don't know why I'm like this. I was like, what do you mean? He said, I don't know why I feel like this. So I just sat him on my lap and I said, look, come here. Come and
so
have a
dramatic,
hug.
Isn't it?
And he was trying to get away. I said, no, just have a hug. Just sit here. And I said, why do you think you're feeling like that? He's like, I don't know. And I was trying to say, like, how are you feeling? They say about colours, don't they, at school? He's like, I feel a bit blue and a bit red and la, 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 la.
What does that mean?
Blue's like a bit sad. Red's a bit like angry.
Oh, blue and red's a bad combo.
And I was like, okay. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to be like this. And I said to him, hey. I said, you haven't got to be sorry. I said, because...
What parenting.
I know,
what
but I was like,
parenting.
Actually, it's really important. I was like, you don't have to be happy all the time.
No.
I was like, it's okay if you're feeling, you know, angry or stressed. We all have moments and days like this.
Yeah.
We shouldn't take it out on one another, but it's okay. And I just gave him this big hug and then he sort of calmed down and he was all right. But I was like, oh, so that was a good parenting day.
So have you just told us that just so that you get praise
just
for how great you are
with
as a parent?
Like
okay,
bribery.
Fair enough.
Anyway,
no, that's fine.
Right, we're gonna have to start wrapping this episode up.
Final question. I asked it then because
on parenting.
Not on parenting. So I was like, right, okay. So now we know it deals with emotions, it deals with physicality, it deals with parenting. I was like, how can we make it really useful for us? And this is a bit of a selfish question, guys.
I think I've got one before you asked this one though.
But we ain't got time for that.
Okay.
All right. So I asked ChatGPT because this is the main thing I'm interested in. How can this show, how can Business Marriage win a British Podcast Award?
Yes.
Fuck the advice.
We should
fuck
have
the kids,
had some like
all that
Carl
stuff.
Off music.
What?
Carl or whatever. Da, da, da. I don't know why. I just felt like I wanted that music.
So this is what ChatGPT said when I asked it, how do we win a British Podcast Award? Winning a British Podcast Award involves creating a high quality podcast that resonates with your audience, stands out from the crowd in a crowded field of competitors. Here's some tips that may help you to win a British Podcast Award.
I like it.
Thank you. Develop a clear concept. You have a clear idea of what your podcast is about and who the target audience is. I think we do.
Yeah.
Talk a load
of
shit and we just hope other people...
Talk about married life, family life, business life.
We act like fucking idiots. We hope that there's a bunch of fucking idiots who listen to this show.
Yeah.
If you do, thank you. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Love you.
Number two, create high quality content. Your podcast should be well produced, engaging and informative. Hello.
I mean, come on.
Not being funny.
Number one podcast agency in Europe, UK, wherever.
Oh, you're fucking Phonic. Useless, aren't you? You are so good at pitching yourself. And when it comes
I'm
to anything
joking.
Else.
Phonic Media. Europe's number one leading content.
Here she goes, guys.
Creation agency, Phonic Media. They're here to help you create engaging content, whether it be through podcasting, through video.
Just stop, it's painful. Right. Number three, consistency is key. Consistency in publishing and podcasting is important. It's important to have a regular schedule and stick to it.
Oh, we do.
So true. Your audience should know when to expect new episodes and when they come out.
We
to
do.
Listen.
Oh my God, we're going to win. Oh my God.
Hang on.
Guys.
Clear concept, high quality content, consistent and key.
Oh my God.
Consistency is key. Number four. Promote your podcast.
Yes.
Use social media, email marketing and other platforms to promote your podcast and build your audience. Engage with your listeners and ask for their feedback and suggestions.
Guys,
we do it all the fucking time.
We love your feedback and suggestions.
Final one. Enter the awards. Well, obviously, that seems you can't win an award without entering the awards. It makes sense, right?
Have you entered us entering into
the
an award?
I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it this afternoon.
I think we should plug this at the end of the show.
Entering competitions and awards, such as the British Podcast Awards, can help visibility and the credibility of your podcast.
This was in ChatGPT, seriously?
That was in ChatGPT.
Holy shitballs. So, okay, this is the thing, guys. We have set ourselves a challenge to nominate ourselves forward for a podcast award because it's been on our list, hasn't it, for a while, and we were like, let's just fucking nominate and see
it's
what
been
happens.
On my bucket list for 2 years. I've had one nominated. One I worked with won a silver award.
Yeah.
Won a silver award.
So
Military Wise
if
podcast.
If it happens, we might need your help, guys.
Yes, we might need your help.
What would your speech be if you won an award?
I think it'd start with, hey, friend. And then no one in the audience, because they're all be like pretentious podcast people, like, who the fuck are these idiots?
Who are these wankers?
But like, thank you so much to all of the listeners. We're so grateful that you'd bother to tune in, send us your business shout outs. Don't mind if you acted like a mug.
Yeah.
We're just so grateful. We're so grateful. That was your little speech from the other week, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, and I won Success Factor. So thanks, guys.
Yeah.
If you did listen to Stepping Into Your Greatness podcast, we concluded that I won.
You won the James's first poll.
James's tiny feet didn't quite make it.
You won the first poll so convincingly. I was like, that's a scam. I'm going to rerun the contest on Instagram. And you won again. So you definitely won. Anyway, there you go.
I am from.
I think that's right. Anyway, so that is our ChatGPT. Thanks, ChatGPT, by the way. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Being here with us, ChatGPT.
It's
we
been
really
a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Isn't it mad, though?
It is mad.
That this technology and what it's actually able to do.
I feel like I've actually learned something today.
What?
I don't know.
Don't bribe your kids. Don't go swinging.
Don't go swinging unless you both really want to.
And we don't.
How to, you know, spice up a marriage.
My
communication
my
is
fancy
key.
Is to be, for you
a
to be a milkmaid.
For me to milk a cow. So we've learned a lot.
We've had a good time all round.
We have.
And had
you.
To win an award, so there you go. If you have enjoyed this episode of the podcast, this probably won't be the episode that I forward to the British Podcast Award panel,
I'll be brutally
honest. But
we'll
if you have enjoyed this, then please feel free to interact with us on social media. We're at Business Marriage Pod on all different platforms. You can click the links that are in the show notes now. And you can also get in touch with us, hello@businessmarriagepod.com, if you'd like to get involved in the show. Suggest somebody to be a mug if they've been a bit muggy.
Who's
you could
mug?
Get a small business shout out as well. But for me, James Burton, from her,
Hayley Appleby Burton.
This has been Business Marriage. We'll see you again next time, kids.
Bye.
Thanks. Stay safe out there, everybody.
Stay safe.
This show.
That's Jerry Springer. He died, didn't he?
Anyway,
sorry. Bye. It's not funny.
It's not funny, but I mean, what a way to add that in at the end.